The Coach Peggy Show, all things wellness with Coach Peggy Wilms. How many people in your life have told you you're half of this or half of that? Have you settled for less than being all? Well, no more. This show is about all things wellness and you deserve it. It's about your money, about your lifestyle, your beliefs, and even romance. We're going to extinguish your excuses and raise the bar to all things possible. It is time to use your ATM. You know, all things mindset. We're never going to be half in, so welcome to All Things Wellness. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Coach Peggy Show. I'm so excited that you're here with me today. So we're going to talk about all things wellness and all things well-being, duh. And so this is more than a show about the keto diet or, you know, my computer's like singing to me, or the muddy rudder race or whatever. So this is about heart and spirit and mind and body. And today we're actually going to talk about self-love and self-care, you know, something that we all stink about. We're just horrible about it. So I'm so excited. You know, I start every show with a quote, and I'm actually going to take one from Miss Lynn's book because she has 30 of them, one for every day. So most of the shadows of this life are caused by standing in one's own sunshine. So that's from Ralph Waldo Emerson, and I love it because we get in our own way sometimes. So Lynn is an author. She's a licensed professional counselor. She's a master energy therapist. And today we're going to talk to her about her book, 30 Days to Me, Living Life Serendipitously, which every time I typed, it came up, you know, needing to read spell check.
So, that's right.
You know, Lynn, before I give you the stage, I have to tell you, we've all read a million self-help books, have we not? Like, I don't even know how many. And I don't look at yours like that, of course. I don't feel like it was in the self-help arena. And maybe it's because I connected with you. We've never met. Mm-hmm. And I connected with your story, but it wove through all of the pages. You know, your transparency, like your realness came through it. And then you have the, you know, the assignments and things that didn't feel assignment-ish. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to say, first of all, thank you. Because yes, I do read my guest books. I actually had a guest ask me that. Yes. That's why I'm busy each week, right? So welcome to you. And how are you doing tonight?
I am actually doing really well. After a full workday myself, my energy is usually a little bit woo-hoo. But because I do actually practice what I preach, that throwing that energy out into me that I've been throwing out all day, spend some time making sure that I stayed connected. So I'm here for you.
You know, you're way ahead of me on that one. Because in our professions, I really connected with you on that. Because we always have to have our game face on.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like it. And we're there for our clients. And they're certainly not supposed to be there for us. We're supposed to have it together.
Right.
But I did read in the book, and I feel this way a lot, is that you leave those sessions, they leave and go off and you've motivated them and bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of take that energy with you.
Correct.
And I would find it would take me 2 or 3 hours at night sometimes to just chill because I carried so much. So
absolutely.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you for figuring that out and cleaning it all up, dusting it off for us tonight.
I got to tell you, I mean, it's taken me a while of practice to get to that point, right? Because I'm like, okay, this isn't working. Here I am. You know, I tend to chunk my work together in the beginning of the week in terms of my client work. And then by the end of the week, I'm like, oh, this is when I'm going to write. No, this is when I'm going to restore because I have put so much energy out that now I am feeling a bit depleted. I've got to throw energy back into me. And now I'm really conscious of how I feel it. I reject it pretty much every week. I'm like, nope, there's no time for this. We've got stuff to do. And then the little voice says, oh, sweetie, I know you say that every week.
You know, it's funny. You say, yeah, sweetie, when you're talking to yourself. So I named my villain. I read a book a while back and she named her villain. And so I decided that my bipolar niche actually needed a villain for my crazy side, my shadow side. And so it's Dracula, because that's, I don't like horror movies and things like that anyways. So I thought, but I kind of need something that reminds me of the devil angel thing, because I'm really always trying to do the right thing and he's sucking me dry. And so that's what I have to say out loud is like, you're sucking me dry. I got to sit you over there. I got to figure out what you're doing. So, so tell me the backstory, because all fantastic writers are not just writers. You know, we write from experience. I coach from experience. You counsel from experience, or we wouldn't be doing it. Please share your backstory and why you're such a good listener now and you recognize behavior.
Well, my backstory comes from my early childhood experiences where I had a mentally ill mother, diagnosed bipolar when I was very young. And so she was on her quest of healing, which was very active, going to different therapists and psychiatrists and taking many different drugs back in the early 80s. So it was really like a, you know, working on her internal chemistry set with like a whole lot of trial and error. And so there was a lot of all over the placeness. She used me, unintentionally used me, but it used me because as a support for her. And she would talk to me about when she was in her deep depression, what was going on for her. And I would connect, looking back now, connect intuition and talk to her about what I felt, what I thought she was going through or what she needed. And she would say, how do you always know? I'm like, well, it's the voice of God. That's what I would tell her. I didn't really even know what that meant, but that's what it felt like to me at the time. Looking now, it's, of course, it was intuition connected to that, to the universe, to God, to whatever that energy is that is love. And so I would, in a sense, talk to her with that, because when we're kids, we're very connected to that. We don't have as many of those voices, those Dracula voices that are like, hey, knock it off.
You're right.
They're not as prominent at that point. So I was able to do that with her. So of course, as time went on, my fear voices would get louder and louder and louder. But during my childhood, I'd spent a lot of practice listening and feeling her energy as an empath and seeing what was going on for her and how I could support her. When I was a teenager, she took her life. She committed suicide. And because of that, that ending in a lot of ways was my beginning into my life path of no longer focusing on my mother, but focusing on others and focusing on getting in touch and getting in tune with their pain and their healing. And so that also began my pattern of my skill, for sure, being able to feel other people easily, but also my own inner torment, which was, I have to put you first. I have to put you first because I need to put myself second, because if I don't, that's risky. That's scary. I could lose you, or you could lose you. And I can't allow that to happen. So both things happened at the same time. The pattern of being able to take care of people, but also the pattern of not taking care of myself and self-neglect.
So if I can ask, how you were into adulthood, or just barely into adulthood, before you started to put this together, that this is like my passion, the road I'm going to take. When did that discovery kind of bubble up?
Of moving into psychology and counseling?
Yeah.
That was early on. I was a teenager.
Oh,
yeah. I can remember sitting in a sociology class and my teacher saying something about people talking to people for a profession and listening to them. And I was like,
I want that job.
I already do that. Pick me.
They're going to pay me to do that?
Right? Oh my God. Like, yeah. What? I don't even see how this is. So, and then going to school and going in for psychology and despising it. Couldn't stand it. Didn't like it at all. Did not connect with psychology at all, in fact.
Okay.
And I thought, I'm like, wow, this is a whole bunch of confusing stuff. We're making things that seem pretty simple awfully complicated, using terminology that people don't use. Like, why are we not simplifying and looking at, you know, what's happening? And I ended up actually reading a book, Man's Search for Meaning, and which I love. Viktor Frankl, he was a psychiatrist or a psychologist. Now I'm forgetting, but either way, he was in the field. And he was in the Holocaust, and he wrote about his account in the Holocaust and his theory of really connecting with what's happening and seeing the purpose, the higher purpose of our experiences, which to me, I was like, oh, this dude totally gets me. This is how I think.
Exactly.
I can remember as a teenager when my mom died, and I was so, you know, stuck in my grief, but I remember thinking, I'm going to take this as an opportunity and I'm going to use it to my advantage in some way, whatever that looks like.
That is so profound. I mean, that's a lot of strength. That is a lot of strength to flip that around, girl.
It's a lot of need for me at that point. I needed to make this a positive for me. Otherwise, I was going to go in a direction of Dracula was going to take over and I just was not having it.
You'd have filled a void in a different way, very unhealthy way, potentially.
Absolutely. And that's what happens. It becomes that sort of excessive need. I need to help you in order to fill me. Mm-hmm. And that's where depletion starts to.
Exactly. Good point. So what, you've written books before this 30 Day in Me, right? So you have some before. Yes. So you have this and so when you did this one, 30 Days to Me, and what made you want to do it in this outline, this, the way that it's designed, was it an aha or you're like, this has to be it? Because it's an ebook, it's like a workbook. So explain the design, how that came to you.
Right. And I was actually, when the idea came to me, it was when I was in this middle of an emotional breakdown. And I knew at that time that it was time to reconnect to me because I heard the intuitive voice say, sister, you're disconnected from you. You have focused your whole life putting other people first. And where are you in this? You don't even know who you are. You keep saying this is me, but you don't really know if that's true. And so that became the focus. And, you know, again, heard 30 days for 30 days, you're going to do things that you enjoy. And I was like, woo. I like this.
It sounds easy, but your book is not easy.
No, it's not. But that was the most interesting part because I'm like, okay, cool. And I knew at that time, because I know that part of my purpose is one, to focus on me so that I can support others, right? With what I learn, you know, jump in, lead the way. This is what we do. And so my friend had said to me at the time, she's like, share your process on Facebook. And I was like, oh, no, I'm not doing that. Then I have to be accountable. Then I have to like follow through.
So true. Yes.
Why would I do that? And I was like, okay, game on. I like a challenge. So that's what I chose to do. And so what ended up happening was the initial concept was put your energy into you, which was for the first day, it was 30 things that bring you joy. I'm like, oh, that sounds fun, right? Every day is a little bit about me. I get to focus on me. And so what happened was once I started creating that list of things I enjoyed that I connect with, whether they were things from childhood or things I had been neglecting or things I wanted to do, whatever, even just generating the list brought me joy. Why? Because our thoughts, very simply, have their own chemistry, have their own energy. Every time we think a positive or a happy thought, someone tells us something exciting, or joyful or positive, we can physically, it creates a chemistry in our thoughts, right? Mm-hmm. Which has a physiological response in our body. Our body's like, ooh, I like the way this feels. Exactly. I'm ready, I'm more energized. Just like if someone tells us something sad or fear-based filled, then we feel it, our chemistry changes, our body starts to get nervous or shut down or scared or low energy, same thing. So just creating that list of things I enjoy shifted my energy. It focused me on elevating my vibration, seeing things at that level. And so the commitment each day to do something I enjoyed was actually just in itself. One small thing was putting energy back into me. It was rebalancing.
So did you go through, so you went through this discovery and then laid it out. I mean, it kept saying 30 days in me, you know, 30 days in your head. So you kind of knew you were headed down that path, but it's really, it's strategic, but not strategic the way you lay. Hey, I've got enough content. You know how we are when we're in this industry that it feels like a job, but not a job because we love what we do. And you get content all over the place and you're like, somebody's going to come in here after I die and go, why didn't she do something with this stuff? So we have it. We have it. But yours isn't laid out blocky. And I mean, I'm not here to have this show to I'm not here selling books, you guys. I don't get it. I'm doing this because I want you to hear this content. And that's why I bring it to you. This book is laid out. It could take somebody 30 days. You were very clear about this. It might take you 30 days. It might take you 30 months. It doesn't matter. You could end up skipping around, but it just flows. And so you could tell you weren't just preaching it and teaching it, that you've been through it.
Yes.
And that you,
the way that that information presented to me, in fact, was, so day one, right? I did something off my list. when mm-hmm. we're connected to joy or that energy vibration, we're connected to ourselves. We're connected to our intuition. Mm-hmm. We're connected to the divine, whatever we're calling it, right?
Whatever you're calling
it. That is us. That's right. us, our That's authentic right. selves. You're connected to joy. You're connected to you. And so what happened was every day I would do something I was enjoying, it would open up that intuitive connection a little bit stronger. And then I would hear, oh, write down here a list of questions. What does freedom mean to you? What does it feel like? And I was like, ooh, I like this. I'm going to do this. Right. And so that's what I did. And so each day were journaling questions or an activity or something like that. Because as I was connected, for me, it was 30 days because like I'm intense that way. And so I was like, I'm getting this done. I'm done with this crap. I'm doing it now. Right. So that was it. But looking back now, I'm like, whoa, my massage therapist is in his 80s. He's a Zen master. He's like the most brilliant human I've ever met. He has taken my book, and every time I go see him once a month, he's on a different chapter, a different day.
God.
And he's like, I study this until I know it. He's like, I didn't think that you could connect mind and intuition, but you're doing it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I won't go to the next day until I've mastered the one previously.
See,
so he's on a year now. And I'm like, I got to do what you did. That's amazing.
You've become the living Bible. Do you know how many people for New Year's resolutions are like, I'm going to read the Bible from the beginning to the end. And now your therapist is like, I'm going to do this for a year. No, that's what's really cool about it. What did you learn though? Because you were on your little own journey. You're getting all this intuition to do something, which I wish people would understand is amazing to do. We actually can listen to our intuition and do something about
Absolutely.
It, right? And then you did, and you laid out the book. What did you learn? I mean, you're learning along the way. Then it's done. Amazon gets it. It's out there. And so if I ask you, like, what did you really learn from it? What would you say?
I learned after the fact, by the way.
Right. Yes. That's what I'm curious about. Yes.
That, oh my gosh, here I thought this day was about pouring energy back into me. It was. But what that did was it reconnected me to my intuition, my intuitive voice. Mm-hmm. Every single one of these practices, the entire book is designed to connect you to your intuition, to your intuitive voice, to that voice of love. And it is literally all about going within, connecting within, and connecting to that vibration of love.
Right.
And I so mean, for me, at the end of that 30 days, I was like flying high. You know, I was like so up, and my kids were like, you should do that again. You're like fun amazing? To be around. Yeah.
That's amazing. So do you go back into your own book when you're yes. feeling off base a little bit? That's
Absolutely.
Amazing. Do you find a chapter that you like are going, oh, that's my monkey. That's my, you know, cross to bear. That's my, really?
No. So what I do, my practice is that whenever I feel drawn to the book, right?
Yeah.
I will open it to whatever page and trust that that's the page that's meant for me. And it's uncanny because each time, and I'm like, oh, this is fun. Yeah, that's exactly what I need right now.
That's really, well, and that's the design,
that's
right?
Serendipity. It is.
Speak to you when you, yes. And that's what I was going to ask you too. I was in the beginning of the show, I was going to ask you serendipitous life and serendipity to you. Because of course I go straight to the movie, you know, mm-hmm. finding gloves everywhere. And you know, that's where I was thinking. But what did it mean to you? Did that come along, that title come along as you were doing the work? Is that a word that's always hung out with you? And what does it mean to you when you think about it? Is it balance? Is it more, is it harmony? What does it mean to you?
That word to me actually came when I, even prior to the book, which actually was my business name, which was Serendipity. And I started with healing with serendipity and then later intuitively said, girl, you're done healing. Healing is a part of living. It's a part of living. It's not a full-time job.
So
we've got to incorporate that into living. It's time to live. So it switched over to living with serendipity. And then when the book came together, it came together, which I didn't expect, of course, mm-hmm. which was about, look, serendipity to me is living in the flow. Living in the flow of life and seeing the unexpected joy and the beauty that shows up. It's always there. But when you're living in the flow, which means I'm trusting the flow of my life, I'm trusting the process, I'm trusting that each day life is happening for me, which by the way is a practice. Let's be 100% fair. It is a practice. And I would say that, you know, in the book, they are practices. every time I do them, they're different every single time I do them, depending on where I am.
Right.
So they're practices. Right. And so we practice trusting the flow, trusting that life is happening for us. And we see the more that we trust, the more that we're able to see the beauty that comes, mm-hmm. that's already there. So exactly. Meaning like, if you like, look, I just went through a really tough experience. Right. And then you look back and say, man, that was really tough. The question is, what was the beauty that you saw? What's the gift? What did you learn? How did you grow? That's the serendipity.
I really love that. And, you know, when I was reading that part of the book and kind of thinking about the roller coaster of life, because that's an acronym, I use the RCL. And so when I was reading that, I was like, yeah, that resonates. It's just not something that we do a good job at whether we're a teacher or a parent or whatever, to say to our kids, even if we don't have children, you know, any other little ones we have access to say, hey, expect this. Crap's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean, you know, woe is me, Sir Black Cloud. You know, the cloud's not following you everywhere. We all have 4 flat tires a month. Stuff happens to people, but we don't do a very good job to say it happens to all of us. But what did you learn? What were the blessings? We don't learn unless, I mean, you don't learn from everything going awesome.
No, you don't learn from everything going awesome. And that does happen too. I find I don't learn necessarily in the middle of my shit show. I'm just, all I'm seeing is.
Speak to me.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, I don't get it. This makes no sense to me. And so again, in that, the practice, right? Correct. In that regard is to feel your feelings, experience the experience, right? Let whatever anger you've got, let that come up. Whatever sadness you've got, let that come up. That's actually part of being in the flow. The flow is allowing that stuff to come up. And as we allow it to come up, it's just energy when it moves through us. When it moves through us, then it clears us out to connect to our intuition again. That's when the clarity comes.
When I come down through the other side, and I see this with my clients, they come down through the other side of the to-dos, the big project, their focus, they're addicted to adrenaline and fight or flight. And then they come down over the other side and everything's going great. Then it hits like, now what? You know, mm-hmm. do I chase the next thing? Or that was, you know, and you said that in there too, is that, you know, you've got to, are you going to keep being the chaser? What are you going to find along that you do? Is it the house next? What's, I'm like a next chaser myself. And I see it every day.
Me too. And that's where practicing the pause and saying, okay, hold on. Let's get cozy with this moment. Ooh, that's uncomfortable, but let's practice getting cozy with this moment.
That's tough.
Enjoy the joy, because we're not even trained to do that.
No, we are not. And what's joy? I mean, I can't tell you how many people I ask that, or what's fun, word that I can't say the other one online, but I can say what's fun. Okay, we're going to hit commercial. You guys, when we come back, you know, I hit a lightning round that Lynn doesn't know anything about. So I'm going to hit some couple of fun questions that are random off road. And then we are going to cover some more fun stuff with her. And so you stay tuned. We'll be right back on the Coach Peggy Show.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Hi, this is Kimberly Carlson, and I would love for you to tune in to All In Healing Radio, where together we will begin to experience health, happiness, and harmony in all areas and aspects of life. Join us every first Tuesday of the month at 11 a.m. on TransformationTalkRadio.com. All In Healing will help you release layers of negative beliefs and energies for radiant health, deep joy, and greater abundance. Visit me at KimberlyCarlson.com.
Are you ready to transform your life and embrace magical experiences? Talking to Tanis with your host, Tanis McRae, is here to help you find your joy in life. Tune in live every first and third Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let's awaken your experience and create the change necessary to take back your right to choose who you are. For more about Tanis, visit TalkingToTanis.com.
Some people dream of freedom before they know it even once. What happens when we find ourselves in unimaginable freedom? Retired, children are grown, we've moved on from caregiving, and don't know what to do with all that time you never had before. Well, it's your life. It's up to you now. On the hit new show, Fresh Courage, it's your time to shine with host Sharon Rolfe on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Oh, you guys, you missed us doing the Rain Man in our outtakes. So if you see a little sweat on this angelic little face, that's what it's from. All right, you guys, welcome back to the Coach Peggy Show. So we're headed into lightning round. And so I'm going to ask my guest here, Miss Lovely Lynn Riley, three lightning round questions. Don't be nervous. They're easy. They're easy. They're fun. So first question I'm coming at you. Do you believe in college or life experience?
I learn the most from life experience. I think college has its value, but I think your intuition should make that choice for you.
These are not rehearsed, people. Bible, whatever the Kardashians say, you know, whatever Kourtney says. It's the truth. Okay, whatever Kanye's up to now. Okay, second thing. If money were not an object, how would you spend your days?
Ooh, I would travel more. I would work from anywhere, which is how I've designed it. And I would be doing more creative work and less one-on-one.
You know, sometimes you just have people in your show or you talk to them over, you know, coffee and you just look and go, are we not from the same cloth? Are we not like, I mean, I wear my hair up, you wear yours down. I swear we're talking to each other tonight. Okay. That was fun. You know, the next one, I know my answer. What would be the hardest thing for you to give up if you had to completely give it up?
My immediate thought was my time with my kids.
I knew, you know what? I am not kidding. I knew you were going to say that when I was looking at what question I wanted for you. And again,
I love those kids so much. It's ridiculous.
That's so noble of you, and I really respect you for that answer. And sons, I'm so sorry, but you were not the first thing that came to my mind. I love you, but mine was, you know, you guys, I was showing her my coffee cup, which if you're driving and you don't have visual, you can't see this, but it says the Coach Peggy Show on it. So it has like my face, which is so narcissistic and gross that I'm drinking out of my own face. But the thing that I would have a hard time giving up is coffee. That's just where I first went. Of course, I would have a hard time giving up my kids. But okay, good lightning
round.
Well,
you made me go into a panic. And I was like, oh, my kids. And that's really just where I went. Right into Dracula said, you can't take them.
I try to coach my kids too. Now what I found when I get older, maybe you do this and with your family too, is that you've become so much of who you are and what you do because we love what we do, right?
Yeah.
That I'm now prefacing everything. And I'm saying, now I'm trying not to get all coachy on you. And I'm trying not to say, now I just worked with someone that said the same thing, but I'm fine.
I've taught my kids to call me out. They're very over-therapeutized. Like it's beautiful and sad at the same time. But I've taught them to call me out. Like if you're uncomfortable, let me know. If I'm stepping over crossing the line, let me know. And they're very gifted at doing so.
You know, you're supposed to have somebody in your top, you're supposed to have at least one person in your top five people that you want to be, you know, whether it's, you know, whomever, Oprah or whoever. I think I've just decided that it has to be you for at least a little while because I don't ask my kids, like, I don't really want to hear that they want me to stop doing anything that I'm doing. So I'm really proud of you because I have a lot of improvement apparently. So I'm going to keep you in my top five for a while.
I'm trying to be a fair leader in their life.
Oh gosh, that's good. More power to you. Okay. When I was thinking about your book and I was reading, we don't even find time to read today. Therefore, I don't even see that I can get people to meditate, nonetheless breathe, yep, nonetheless whatever or whatever, whatever. And, you know, you have to sit and think and go, well, is it immediate gratification we're seeking so we can't concentrate? Or have we kind of just gotten to this place where our self-expectation is so high, mm-hmm, that we're chasing like non-self-love, non-self-care things, and it's just expected that we do it? Because even finding time to read your book is an old pastime.
Right. It just now becomes on the should list versus the want to.
Yes. Yes. Ooh, that's very good.
And that is actually energy out versus energy in.
You know, in the should list, there comes a lot of guilt with that, I've found.
Mm-hmm. You know, it is. Should itself, right, is that word, the feeling of that word. If you think, one of the exercises I do with people is close your eyes, and when I say these words, how do you feel? Right. Mm-hmm. So where do you feel in your body when I say should, or if I say hate, or if I say need to? Where in your body when I say love or want to or peace, where do you feel it? We can actually physically feel the difference of these words. So when you say should, which by the way is part of shoulders, right? The word literally, that's actually where energetically our expectations sit, in our shoulders. So that heaviness and that tension that sits in our shoulders, that is literally the weight that we're putting on ourselves. It's the should. It's an expectation word. Expectation is all fear. It goes down to the root of, I fear that people will reject me if I don't do this. I fear I'm not good enough if I'm not in the self-help realm and I'm not doing it all right. Yes. That's all should energy. Whereas want to, so that's energy out, right? Energy in, want to, I want to, that feeds you. I'm mm-hmm. choosing to, I'm bringing love into me. That's the difference.
I should eat donuts all day. I should not, I guess I should say, but I want to.
Donuts are fantastic in moderation. If they make you sick, energy out. One donut, two donut works for you, energy in.
Be a food 100%. Snob. It's just like your bacon day at home.
Yes.
Exactly. I love your bacon. Tell them about your bacon day.
I overdose on bacon every year. So I haven't eaten pork or red meat since I was in the seventh grade because I was in love with River Phoenix. And when I met him, I wanted to be the perfect
pause. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, I had to get over that.
I had to be the perfect girl for him, right?
Yeah.
And so then he died of a heroin overdose. That was upsetting.
Yes.
And so I chose to still, in his memory, and also because my family said, oh, you're just doing it for a fad. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'll show them. So stop. I still don't eat it. But anyway, once a year, we have bacon day, family bacon day, where we do all things bacon. And it's delicious. And every year I say, oh my gosh, I'm going to eat bacon more often. And I don't, because I overdose on bacon. And then I feel sick because it sits in my stomach for 3 days. Right. I'm like, yeah, I think that's why moderation comes in. But it is part of the book where we create a new tradition. And for me, in my 30 days, I created bacon day. My kids love it.
Yes.
It's just a fun thing, but it could be many things.
And you bring in traditions, you bring in, I'm not kidding. I love the variety of it. It's not this boring, massive self-awareness, overly dive deep where you're exhausted. And it's also not this, you know, you've got some, your I ams are even different. You know, your gratitudes and intentions are a little bit, I mean, you got to have a little bit of that, but I mean, you're mm-hmm. not riding on unicorns the whole time.
Right.
And you're not also making the reader feel like you have it figured out, which mm-hmm. is really, really important, I think, for those of us who are, you know, we have followers or people that are listening to us and in our profession, we need to do a better job of reminding ourselves and them over and over is mm-hmm. we don't have it figured out either. And that's a fine line.
Yeah.
To share and not share.
For me, I very much am believe in that. For me, authenticity is showing who I am, because when I show you who I am, then you get to know me. And the more you get to know me, the more you feel closer or connected or trusting me. I'm not bullshitting you. I'm telling you, I know it. I've been there. I'm in the fetal position. I know that pain. I'm not above it. I know how to go through it. I've done it. I'm still doing it at different levels at different times. In my personal practice, when I write, when I blog, when I share things, I'm very, very honest about my own process and what that looks like.
Right. Yeah. And then the process of waiting too.
Yeah.
That's so gross.
Practicing
so
that.
So gross.
It's my least tell you favorite what, practice.
What will not be on my epitaph, let's be clear, which there's really no need to have one because I'm not going to have this thing put in the ground. But if I had an
You're
epitaph.
You're going to bury
your cup? Yeah. Lord. We'll have one of those smash things like X on the Beach does. I'm out of here. But it won't have, I mean, patience, you know, with that waiting process comes. But it's more than just waiting for, it's waiting in the thoughts. It's recognizing the behaviors. It's hearing them. And I mean, you and I get together or you get with your clients or your friends or whoever, and we listen to them. We honor them. We can agree to disagree, but we don't listen to ourselves and honor ourselves. And
that's a practice.
It's the weight game. It is a practice. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to do it when you need it most. Right. I get on the other side of it and I go, dang, that was good. You don't need to go do that again. You survived that. That was what that's the only thing you needed to do is survive. It keeps coming back. What would you say you want the readers to get out of it? Like if you had to give a call to action and you were to say, hey, I want you to check this out, what would you say? What type of reader is it for? What would you like them to get out of it?
It's really for, to me, it's for anyone because we're all going through the roller coaster, as you said. And that is, we've got a lot of energy going out and then we're depleted. The depleted means we put too much energy going out in the world. We've got more shoulds going out than want tos. So it's really designed for when anybody is feeling depleted, you've got more shoulds than want tos going out. You're cranky, you're irritable, you're done. You can't stand anybody. You can't do one more thing for another person. That shows us, it's very symptomatic of you've got too much energy going out. So the book is designed for, here's your practice to bring energy back into you. And when you bring that energy back into you, one, you're connecting with yourself, which is self-love. You're connecting your intuition to hear more of that clarity, to feel more of that peace that you're saying you want. It's really that.
And so it's not meant to be sequential, even though it's day 1 through 30, it can be day 30 through 1, and the same practice that you do, you can pick it up and hit it. And even if it's hard, that probably is the message to stay right on that page 17, girl.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. When my eyeballs are rolling to the point of a headache, I'm like, this is it. So, got it.
That's it.
Whatever.
I just love that you're walking the talk and talking the walk. I think that's really, really important. Not to just write a book and put it on the shelf and make some money. You know, that's what's tough with those of us who really love what we do. Sure, we could do whatever and make some cash and move on, but it's going deep and it's changing lives and transforming because it transforms us. And
And we want to share that. We're like, this feels good. I want you to feel good. And that's the process.
Exactly. Mic drop, but you know, then Zach would say, I can't hear you. So, you know, okay. So where can everybody find you? First of all,
easiest place to reach me is on my website, www.livingwithserendipity. It's the longest ever, livingwithserendipity.com. And Lynn Riley is my name. So that's always another way to find me. But on my website, you can connect with my podcasts, my book, my newsletter, or send out my blogs, which I'm now doing weekly, to connect with these practices and experiences and all that.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question.
And Facebook and Instagram, that too.
Oh, yeah, like shock. Like that's a given now. We used to say, I had this thing called Facebook. Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question, which I know this is an evolving, it's an ever-changing answer, but if all of a sudden in the next 2 days you are massively depleted, like you feel, because we got to learn, we have red flags, we ignore them, but you're like, here I go. What is your go-to? Like you have a meeting with yourself, you hit 100%. The gym.
Meditation.
You know what? You said something. I swear it was you. I think it was you that said you either... You pay attention to your wellness now. You take the time for it now, or you take the time for illness later.
Correct. That's the practice of movement, which is another daily practice. Walking is a big one for me, particularly in nature.
Get those endorphins going.
But meditation, stillness, whatever you want to call it, you can do that anywhere. You know, you can do that in 5 minutes and pour energy back.
There's no perfect way.
No, there isn't. Mine's different all the time.
I know. It's the M word that people freak out
about.
It does.
That's why I say stillness practice in the book. I'm like, it's a stillness practice, because if I say meditation, I can't do it. I'm a failure before I start. I get it.
I'm vice president of that club. I was the president, but I've stepped down.
Good for you.
I have loved having you on this show, seriously. And people reach out to her. I read it from beginning to end, and I will definitely be in touch with you when I'm feeling down and out and need to fill up my damn coffee mug. I'll call you. All right, you guys, we're going to head to commercial. Make sure that you come back for Fat or for Real. I got a couple things to chat with you about, and I got some questions from some of my clients that I have to answer about myself. Okay, see you soon.
Tales from the Merworld with Amira Bass, exploring the mysteries of Atlantis and Lemuria, airing every second and fourth Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Tales from the Merworld Radio is a blend of mythology, theology, and ancient history, and Amira's own soul channelings. Are you ready to explore and validate the possibility that we are much more than our Earth bodies? Amira Bass' Tales from the Merworld Radio hold safe space discussions for remembrances and memories of topics like multidimensional existences and simultaneous lives. Together, we will be raising our vibrations through stimulating conversations and the opening and releasing of the remembrance of our soul purposes for this incarnation. Join me, Amira Bass, for Tales of the Merworld Radio.
The truth is funny. Shift Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific Time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
How many times do you find yourself saying, it was nothing, or just doing my job, when really you knocked it out of the park? How did you get like this? Next time someone tells you great job, you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to Be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to Be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self and how far you can go by being more you. Check out her website, CourageToBeSeen.com. You have the courage to be seen. See you later.
Are you ready to transform your life and embrace magical experiences? Talking to Tanis with your host, Tanis McRae, is here to help you find your joy in life. Tune in live every first and third Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let's awaken your experience and create the change necessary to take back your right to choose who you are. For more about Tanis, visit TalkingToTanis.com.
Hey, you guys, welcome back to the Coach Peggy Show. I hope you enjoyed the guest we just had, Lynn Riley. Talk about some good energy. Oh my gosh, hysterical. She's like my soul sister. You know, I don't know, it'd be pretty scary if we both got together for a long period of time. But there's some serious gold nuggets that she threw out in the radio show here if you didn't listen to the whole thing. And then catch her book. not kidding. There's really some cool gold nuggets in there. So what are we going to do right now? We're going to talk about fad or for real. You know that I usually check out a few things and then let you know, what do I think about it? They're only my opinions. Nobody's paying me anything. And then I have a question that came in a little bit differently. Three people sent to me, and it's worded a little bit differently, but enough that I can answer all three of them. So what are we going to chat about? We are going to chat about Himalayan salt lamps and Epsom salts. And it's not because I was really thinking of salt in general. I don't even put salt on my food. But I was taking an Epsom salts bath, and I have three Himalayan salt lamps in my house. So I just thought, I'm going to share this with you guys. So let's do Epsom salts first. I wanted to know, because I didn't know this. I've always heard, always used it, especially as a trainer over the years. When I did all my competing, all my stuff when I was a young chapness, whatever they call a girl. And for my clients, it was like Epsom salts, take your Epsom salts, warm bath. It's going to help with inflammation and all that stuff. But I didn't really know if it was legit or not. So I did a little handy dandy investigating. And of course, you know, Dr. Google knows everything. So I wanted to share it with you. So is my word today. Magnesium and sulfate are really, really important, we know, with reducing inflammation. We know that for a fact. And we know that it aids in muscle and nerve function. And we also know that if it's given to us intravenously, it absolutely works. Science shows that. What the lack of, you know, there's some scarcity on science when it comes to topical absorption or skin absorption of magnesium and sulfate. So that's what Epsom salts is made of. So if you think about that, does it really work? I mean, there's not a lot of science, but what are you doing with Epsom salts? You're taking a hot bath. You are obviously relaxing. What does relaxing do? Drops your cortisol level. Your cortisol level allows you to reduce inflammation. Muscles relax. If you're able to, and hopefully smart enough, you've closed and locked the bathroom door, so you have some privacy. So even if we were to consider it a placebo effect, I would still say this is a for real. So I would say Epsom salts baths are for real. Do it, especially after you've worked out. There is nothing wrong with it. I do use it, and I can tell you that sometimes I do get dried out, but here's my secret sauce. I'll lay in there for a little while with Epsom salts, and then I take about, I don't know, a pretty good scoop of coconut oil. And I always have that in my bath. I swim and I can get dried out. So that's what I do to help with not getting too dried out. So that's a for real for me. Are you excited that we're going to move on to Himalayan salt lamps? I'm going to drink out of my mug right now. I don't know why I get so thirsty when I coach or do these shows. So Himalayan salt lamps, they are carved. You guys know this, maybe. Amber colored salt, rock salt. But the real ones, there's so much fad out there, so many pretend, you know, internet sellers that claim everything is legit. And if it's really, let's say if it's fake, okay, it's hard. It's really, really hard. And if you were to drop it, it's super resilient. The real stuff will flake, okay, and it's actually will break off. But it is made, it's carved, it's made, hole in it. For those of you guys who don't know this, a light bulb goes up in it, you turn it on, the lamp gets warm. What's the intention? The intention is that is supposed to ward off negative ions. Negative ions are anything that come down from the particles that come down from outer space. You know that stuff has to fall somewhere. That's not like goop alien-ish, okay? So stuff that falls down from space, how about lighting in your house and maybe even bad chemicals, anything that's in the air with, if you live like I do in Florida, we always have air conditioning on, or maybe even some of your cleaning supplies. So use your Himalayan lamp. Worst case scenario, let's pretend it's placebo. Okay. What's the worst case scenario? You turn it on, it's gorgeous. It's not super expensive. They're not really expensive, even the real ones, which, by the way, I think if I read correctly, that Pakistan, Nepal, and India are where the true blue, real, Himalayan rock salt lamps come from. But anything else, if you find it from California, it's probably not legit. So it is a for real decoration. It's not going to make you feel bad. And I couldn't find anything or any stories that they're bad. So I'm going to call on my producer right now, Mr. Zach, because I think this will be fun. So obviously he's a dude, you guys. Zach. Are you there, Zach?
I'm here.
So tell me, Epsom salts, what's your history with Epsom salts and baths? And you think fat or for real?
I have zero history. I have never, I'm not even 100% sure what the recipe is. Is it just water and Epsom salt?
You just, yeah, you just buy it in a bag. You go to Costco, big bag, take a chunk out, throw it in a hot, yeah. I am shocked. Are you an athlete?
I run, but that's about it.
Okay. We're going to talk offline. We're going to see if this works. It would be a great science experiment that I can report back. Oh my God. What about Himalayan salt lamp?
I just heard of those like last year.
Oh, you're going to be so much fun. Send you a lamp, send you some Himalayan salt. Check it out for like 60 days and see how you do.
I'll be a guinea pig. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Good job. All right, you guys, I'm going to answer a question from a couple of my clients. And so actually one of them is a friend. This is coming from LD, Tim, and Cassie M. I want to know what you feel is your biggest personal obstacle, what you face today, and who do you turn to unload? Okay, this is going to be tough to do in just like a minute and a half. Say, my biggest obstacle is, believe it or not, working from home. I never, ever thought I would say that. It is more difficult than not. You know, there are a lot of studies out there right now saying that people who work from home are actually becoming more lonely and more depressed than those that are working, are surrounded by people. And so my biggest monkey on my back is every single place that I go in my home, I have work stuff. I have it all over the place. I have a hard time disconnecting. I get my energy off of you. My clients are virtual, so it's really tough for me I love what I do, so my workload's insane. I don't know how to stop myself until I get a massive red flag. So what are the red flags and who do I turn to? The red flag for me, especially right now, is my workload. I am completely unable to get focused right now. I have about 10 things going on. I'm not doing a good job in any arena. I'm going to tell you that right now. About 70% deep in a bunch of them. I have to figure it out. So my cross to bear is that I get busy to hide something, whatever that is. Okay. I'm working through it. Been doing this for a gazillion years. So that's my thing. And who do I turn to? Accountability teams. I work with Dana from home. My boyfriend, he works from home. I can't run from him. Every single place I go, I am. I know that wherever I live, I go, I am. I can't run from myself. But you guys, it is not a weakness to reach out to a professional or expert and seek help when you need it before you crash. I encourage you to do that. So you guys, I would look for those red flags and don't be a hero. Take that from me. Heroes are zeros. Seriously, get help. All right, so I will talk to you really soon. Email me if you want to reach out. I can't wait to hear from you. It is peggy@allthingswellness.com. And you guys get well and stay well. Talk to you soon.
You've been listening to The Coach Peggy Show, All Things Wellness, with me, Coach Peggy Wilms. Tune in every Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where I talk all things wellness. We help you truly understand all things wellness, and it's not just a diet. We get bold, we get badass, and we never go half in. For more information or to connect with me, go visit AllThingsWellness.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.